with us this morning. We try to do a little studying. As the Hosea the prophet said, our people destroyed for lack of zeal, right? That's not what he said, is it? He said, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Saw a bumper sticker the other day, said, if you can read this, thank a teacher. And that was good. Father, we pray that you'd give me wisdom this morning. And then, Lord, most of all, give me the gift of teaching. Father, as we open the truth, the Word of God, that is the judge of all other truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, we're going to pick up again where we left off last week. I confess freely that we're delving into areas of great controversy. But if you want to stay away from controversy, you better leave the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. If you'll turn over here to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. He said himself that I came to set a father against a son, a man against his brothers, only family members. He is the most divisive figure that ever lived. He is. That's why the people today who want unity, they scream about unity, a one world. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 5. For they willingly are ignorant. Now that's a sad situation, don't you think? Willful ignorance. It really is. We're all ignorant, folks. It's just ignorance simply means that you're not taught, trained, or you're not familiar with something. You're ignorant of it. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. Nothing. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has to do with what you know. And the Bible says here they're willful, willingly are ignorant. So that's a motive. So you have a motive involved in this. They don't want to know. And this is why it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. That's a judge of motivation. It tells you why they do not want the truth. They love darkness rather than light. The entrance of thy word giveth and giveth understanding the simple. So I don't want to be willfully ignorant, and I've been ignorant all my life, remain ignorant, but pray to God that he'll teach me a few things before I leave this world. And the more you know, the more it'll build your faith in the Lord. And that's what this series is about. You'll never find me questioning the Bible. You'll never hear me appeal to secular wisdom over the Scripture. You'll never hear me appeal even to my experience over the Scripture, because my experience may be wrong. So the Bible said they're willfully ignorant. Now, I want to bring a couple of things back to you this morning to remind you or give you a refresher in what we talked about in the past. And that is this Obamacare health bill that has been voted into law, the one that Nancy Pelosi said, once we vote on it, we'll find out what's in it. That shall go with her to her grave. That's one of the dumbest things that was ever said by anybody in Congress, bar none. But in the health care bill, subsection C-11, subtitle C-11 rather, section 2521, the National Medical Device Registry, states the secretary shall establish a National Medical Device Registry, this subsection referred to as the registry, to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcomes data on each device that A, is or has been used in or on a patient, and B, is a Class 3 device, or 2, a Class 2 device that is implantable. So what we have here is already in the medical, in the Obamacare that's been passed into law, that they can implant a chip or a device into your body. Now, of course, you know the purpose of that. They can track you every moving step that you take. Now, somebody may question me and say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Check me out. And the truth of the matter is, it'll be good for me that you check me out to make sure that I don't make a mistake up here. But I've checked, double-checked, and triple-checked this stuff before I give it out. That looming before you post-November election, depending on whether Obamacare continues to be in force, is the potential that you could have a implantable device placed within your body. President Reagan called it the mark of the beast. He wouldn't sign the law, which was a precursor to what's happening now. He called it the mark of the beast. Good for President Reagan. He sure did. But Clinton signed into law Agenda 21, June the 29th, 1993, which essentially handed over sovereignty to the United Nations. And the purpose of all of this, of course, is to get a outside, exterior government governing the United States of America, which eats away at your sovereignty until the day comes when you wake up and realize that you're no longer under the flag of this country and the Constitution. Like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the Supreme Court justices, one of the most liberal of them, she has said, and I can't quote her verbatim, but here's what she has said. She has said, the Constitution of this country, she would not, if she were writing it, she'd rather have the Constitution of South Africa. That's what she said. Now, what's the purpose of the Supreme Court, folks? It's to interpret and apply the Constitution of the United States of America, not South Africa's Constitution. I assure you, you would not want to live in some places in South Africa. Believe me, you would not. How many of you know what necklacing is? Few of you do. Let me tell you what it is. They put a tire, car tire, around your neck, fill it full of gasoline. Then they begin to burn your body. They burn your body in other places and torture you. They ram things up under your fingernails to torture you and hand you a lighter. And then when you can't take it anymore, you light the gasoline and burn yourself to death. That's not an isolated case. That went on all the time and still does. You don't want to live in South Africa. You see, the news media will never tell you that, but I can show you photographs of that in my office. You wouldn't want to live in Russia. You wouldn't want to live in China. There's a lot of places you wouldn't want to live there. The Constitution of the United States is the highest law of the land. And every law enforcement officer from the DA, the district attorney here in Knox County, all the way up to the Supreme Court is bound by that Constitution. It's a good Constitution. I find no fault in it. Yes, sir. Yeah, in India too, doing the same thing in India. Yeah, barbaric. You know, cruel and unusual punishment, they outlawed, they ruled it out in this nation. Cruel and unusual punishment because it was practiced in Europe. I mean, when they went into France, this is a fact of history, folks. The French Revolution took place 1700s. They got rid of the monarchy. And I forget that they had three basic foundations of the French Revolution. But one of them, but the bottom line is that they went into some of these buildings over there in France, where the Catholic Church had the Inquisition, and they went down in the basement of those buildings and they found the racks, they found the implements of torture, they found that stuff, they found all that stuff inside those buildings, that was a product of the Spanish Inquisition under Torquemada and the rest of them, which had gone on for centuries. It's a horrible thing. People that come in, listen, when they came to this country, that was fresh in their minds. Fresh in their minds when they established this nation. And that Constitution is what it was all about. So Miss Ginsburg may want to throw it out, but I want to keep it. Throw her out. Let her retire. Amen. All right. Obamacare mandates the sterilization of 15-year-old girls for free without parental consent. It's all over the internet. All you have to do is check it out, and you'll find out that there's a lot of nasty hidden things in Obamacare that once Pelosi let everybody read it, well, they began to find there's a lot of stuff in there that they didn't like. So what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on, folks. A lot of things are happening today that's getting us ready for a one-world government. I want to go back in history just a little bit with you, though. Let's talk about some things that have happened according to the Scripture. Now, how many of you believe in Genesis 6 that you believe that's real history? Amen. All right, good. I'm glad you do, because a lot of churches don't. They believe it's a myth. They still have crosses, but they believe the Bible's a myth. They keep the cross and throw the Bible out. That's an amazing thing. But I believe the Bible, and I believe the Bible is historically accurate. It has never been proven otherwise. Now, we know that about 4,000 years ago, God made man. We know that. And I give general figures because there's no way to nail anything down specifically. We also know that Adam lived almost 1,000 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. So from the creation of Adam until the time that Noah went into the ark, you're looking at a good 1,000 years, all right? So let's drop 1,000 off of that 4, and that puts about 3,000 B.C. We're going back to 3,000 B.C. Now, they like to teach you that men evolved, you know, from a lower order of being to a higher order of being, and that he, through the last state before I think the present man, was the Neanderthal man and all this stuff, Cro-Magnon man, Piltdown man, and all this stuff. You know, you get all this. How that man evolved into what he is today. Well, they need millions and millions and millions of years for evolution to work. It can't work overnight. It has to have all that time. Here's the problem. When you go back and start studying this history and study the formations of cultures and so forth, an amazing thing begins to happen. About 3,000 B.C., major cultures all of a sudden begin to pop up. I'm going to read some of them for you. They just pop up. Bottom line is that there's not this long, slow, gradual process where men learn through trial and error all the things that they know today. It's almost as if they knew so much before and had forgotten it, but what was passed down to them through the flood, they popped up in civilizations. In plain words, there was a time on this earth where there was a golden age where men were advanced. You know when that was? That was right before the flood. Right before the flood. There's no reason to doubt the fact that when God made Adam, he made him a man capable, infinitely capable, mentally and physically of doing what God told him to do. He said, take dominion over the earth. Take dominion. It's yours. It belongs to you. I'm sorry for all the tree huggers and the rest of them, but God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the rest of them. All right. Adam named all the animals. Adam was a very smart, brilliant man with the capacity to do what God told him to do. And when you read the first few chapters of Genesis, you'll see how men advanced. You'll see advancement take place. When you go and read these old philosophers like Plato, Plato talked a lot about a city called Atlantis. This is where the Atlantic Ocean is named from. It gets its name from Atlantis. Now, most history books teach Atlantis is simply a mythological legend or a myth, something that never existed. But the truth of the matter is they can't prove that it never existed. And there's an awful lot of information out there dealing with Atlantis and a place called Lemuria. These lost ancient civilizations that were advanced, very advanced in their knowledge. Now, something happened all of a sudden on the earth that took these advanced civilizations away. Something all of a sudden overnight practically took them all away. What do you think that could have been? Exactly, the flood. Universal deluge. The flood. And this flood, when it showed up, how do you believe in the flood? I say to you once again, go out and dig on your own, folks. You'll never find a thing that will cause you to doubt the Bible and what it says about this. What you will do is find sedimentary, and that's a term that refers to soil and rocks that are part of it that settle in a certain place. Sedimentary rock. And we've got a geologist in our church here. He could get up and give you a good oration about igneous rock or igneous, what's it called, a rock. Granite and all that. Give you a big long lecture about all that stuff. Talking about the layers, the uniform layers of the earth and all that. Okay? Well, this sedimentary rock can be found everywhere. And it completely turns upside down this so-called geologic table. Or the layers as they should be uniformly found all over the earth. They're not. So these advanced civilizations, like possibly Atlantis, and we'll talk about that later because I got a lot of stuff to cover this morning. And these others, there is no doubt, and I could spend a lot of time with you today showing you artifacts that don't belong where they're found, that show an advanced civilization. They don't belong where they're found. They're found in strata that goes back 20, 30, 400 million years. See, man's not supposed to have been here that long. I think about 2.3 million 3-point-something million years, something of that nature, if you buy into the evolutionary process. Pardon? Yeah, allegedly. Exactly. That's the point. But the bottom line is that about 3,000 years ago, and I'm going to read some of them for you, these civilizations don't just, they don't evolve into what they are. All of a sudden, bang, here they are with all this advanced knowledge. For example, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, the Pyramid of Giza, the Pyramid of Cheops or Khufu, the one that's located in Cairo, the huge Great Pyramid. How many know what I'm talking about? That is the oldest of all the pyramids, and it's the finest. In plainer words, all the pyramids after that pyramid devolved. Men, for some reason, began to lose the ancient wisdom handed to them, and they went downward instead of upward. Now, let me read some of these ancient civilizations that just, for example, popped up. All right, this first one I mentioned to you was Egypt. Let me give you a few more here. And all you have to do is to do a little bit of research into these civilizations, and you'll be amazed what you find. For example, the Indus Valley civilization, Indus, I-N-D-U-S, of India and Pakistan. The pre-Inca civilization of South America, especially the Mayans. They had a high technological knowledge. All this buzz about the Mayan calendar ending December the 21st, 2012. The Mayans, they were bloodthirsty. Their god demanded blood, but they were also very, very advanced in their civilization. The Nazca civilization of South America, and they're now just continuing to discover things about these people. The Mayans, as I mentioned to you, in South America. These are civilizations that all of a sudden, they just suddenly appear. They're highly advanced. It doesn't fit with the caveman. Now, let me say something about cavemen. People still live in caves. The Bible talks about cavemen. The fact that men lived in caves is nothing new. But the point is that all men did not, just because some men live in caves doesn't mean they all lived in caves. They built houses. They built civilizations. They put rocks together and stones that are so heavy they can't even move them today, so close that you can't even slide a piece of paper between them. Like last week I mentioned that 1,000-mile-long canal that was built in China before the time of Christ, among many, many, many things. And I've got all kinds of documentation, but I want to move along past that for now. We'll come back and cover some of that later. That documents all of this knowledge that they had thousands of years ago. Where to get it from? And not only that, why is there such a uniform, when you're talking about this knowledge, there's something that's uniform about it. That is the issue of the zodiac, the stars above us. The names of these constellations are just about uniform, regardless of where you go, with people that had no contact with each other whatsoever, yet they've named them the same thing. Remember when the first book of the Bible was written? When was that? About when? That's right, 1500. Some say 15. We'll go 15, 1400. I usually say 14. It could have been 1500. Moses, right? He wrote the first five books of the Bible. The Bible was completed about 90, 95 A.D. All right, so we're looking at what? About 1,500 years to write the Scripture. Now look, if the flood took place a little over 3,000 B.C., then what did they do for a Bible all of that time before the first Scripture was ever written? The word of mouth, exactly. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Night after night uttereth speech. And it's like a bridegroom coming out of his closet. And you go up there and look at the stars and you say, how in the world is that? What? You look at them at night and you see the constellations, you see the connection made in the stars, and you think, how'd they do that? It doesn't look like that to me. It had to be that somebody told them before that that's what's there and that it had a message in it. And that message was for you until the Word of God was written. And do you know something is an amazing thing to me? The first constellation in order and then the last constellation in order. Guess which is which? Virgo's the first one. Guess which will be the last one? Leo. The virgin, the first one, and then the second advent of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now, I am not teaching astrology. The Bible says plainly, be not dismayed with the stars or the heavens as the heathen are. This is not astrology. This is looking up into the skies and making a connection with ancient civilizations. Why did they all have a uniform knowledge of these constellations, use the same names for them when they didn't even connect with each other? They didn't have anything written to where they could hand it to each other. How'd that come about? It came about because there's one common source of knowledge. And that common source of knowledge is the Lord. The Bible said he wouldn't leave himself without a witness, and he didn't leave himself without a witness. All right, so, and I will go back and deal with some of that later. So now, where did this knowledge come from? Where did it come from? Well, the golden age I talked to you about, right? The golden age before the time of the flood. The Bible says to the Jew, God gave the oracles of the law or the oracles of God. Romans chapter number 9. Why is that important? That's important because I will not go to a Hindu for a source of truth. I will not go to a Buddhist for the source of truth. I will not go to a Muslim for the source of truth. I will go to a Jew. That's where I'll go. Because he said he gave to the Jew the oracle of God. He gave them the truth. He gave them the scripture. But now Helen Blavatsky, that lived in Russia, the latter part of the 19th century, Helen Petrona Blavatsky was a Russian. And she was the one who formed the so-called Theosophist Society. She was deep into spiritism or spiritualism, whichever one you want to call it. She was the grandmother of the New Age movement, if you want to put it that way. And also, being the grandmother of the New Age movement, she's the grandmother of what they're teaching out there in California in this emergent church movement where they have kundalini yoga and they sit down and that serpent wraps itself around their spinal column and comes out across the top of their head in that final chakra where that connects them with eternity. She was the grandmother of all of that. And any preacher in this country that's letting kundalini yoga, yoga of any form, come into his church is part of the occult. And that's all it is. It's the occult. And he's part of the New Age movement, and he's leading his people straight to hell. And they are part, and they will come under the deception that God said plainly. And that deception has already started. No question in my mind about it. But she had what's called root races. And these root races, as I've given to you before, these root races represent man's spiritual evolution on this planet. Now, we have evolved, according to them, physically, all right, according to them. I don't believe for a minute. I believe you look just like Adam. I believe if Adam were standing in here this morning, the one that was made from the dust of the ground, put a suit of clothes on, you wouldn't know the difference between him and anybody else. That's exactly right. That's what I believe. But they believe that you have, that the earth is, the people, mankind on earth is evolving spiritually, which brings us to where we are today. There is a white elite brotherhood that rules this world behind the scenes. Now, it's very important to understand, white elite brotherhood, Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Like Adolf Hitler preached so much about his Aryan. Well, the Aryan is one of the root races that Blavatsky preached about in the 1800s. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, I don't have any problem at all this morning believing that there is a white elite brotherhood ruling this world. Say, why do you say that? I say that for a lot of things that are happening now that relate to the population on earth, mankind. They said it plainly back in the 50s that the earth must be depopulated to a certain point. The earth cannot sustain these billions, 7 billion strong now and growing every day. Agenda 21 is pointed directly upon or towards sustainable development. It's all about sustainability. It's about the earth's ability to sustain its inhabitants. It's about everybody being able to eat. And so forth. Who do you think is going to call the shots? And here's the problem. It is a sinister movement by people who believe Blavatsky's root race theory that very possibly, according to them, a star child or some child or some race of mankind was planted on this globe from outer space. They believe it. They believe that your hope is in sending a craft like the last one they sent to Mars, just landed. You got the photographs back from Mars. It wasn't 5 minutes after it landed to where they came out and said, we're going to put a man on Mars now. And on it goes. It's about an elite group of white elitists who are demon-possessed. And they are demon-possessed, but they are going to rule this world. And in the process of it, they are going to weed out those that they don't want. Human eaters, useless feeders. That's what Margaret Sanger called them, the one who started the Planned Parenthood that goes into black communities and sets up its abortion clinics and kills off thousands, tens of thousands of little black babies. And not too long ago, some of the black pastors, God bless their soul, in this nation got together and told Obama, we don't like the direction you're headed. We don't like what you're trying to do to our people and to this nation. I didn't see any white pastors get together and do that. But they sure did, didn't they? And they've got my support 1,000%. Because they have to go back and minister in the communities of their people. And they see the destruction of the home. Just a few days ago, a home invasion took place. And that home invasion, a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old invaded the home. Yeah, 6 and 7. They're getting younger and younger and younger. And you wouldn't believe it. Little children that ought to be out here climbing trees and playing cowboys and Indians. They're going in here and they're invading homes and killing people. What's happening to the culture? Exactly what the elitists want to happen to the culture. They're destroying the culture so they can bring it out of chaos. Orbital chaos. Isn't that the way it's said? Order out of chaos. The phoenix that rises out there in the west, in the wilderness out there in Arizona. Arizona is a desert land, folks. It's beautiful in its own right. But here rises phoenix right out of the middle of a desert. It's the bird that rises up after defeat. It's that idea. They're going to destroy what's known and they're going to raise up their own. And make no mistake about it, they're headed that direction. And they're going to do exactly what they say they're going to do unless somebody stops them. Who can stop them? It won't be the Republicans and it won't be the Democrats. It'll be the second advent. It will be. Now, I've got a list of scientists. See, what you do when I gave you a general overview, I gave you a panoramic view just then. That's a panoramic view. What you do then is go and start dealing with specifics to support that. Now, let me read what one man says here. I don't agree with everything he says. And some of these websites I wouldn't recommend to you for a heartbeat. But sometimes they draw some conclusions that are very good. Here's what he says about the Illuminati's idea of population control. It falls into two broad categories. Limiting the size of human societies and monitoring, controlling the movement of individuals within that society, thus the implantable chip, Obamacare. Intentionally reducing the bulk of the world's population through genocide. That's what happened in Africa when the Hutus and the Tutsis, well, I forget which one, trying to wipe out, I think the Hutus tried to wipe out the Tutsis, didn't they? Or the Tutsis, the Hutus, I forget. But over there in Herzegovina, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, that's exactly what was happening there, a genocide. That's when you wipe out, a genocide is when you wipe out a certain population, a certain race of people. Do away with them. Now, did you know that they are experimenting with, you understand that DNA opened up a whole new world. Yeah. And that every race has its own DNA footprint, they call it. And that these biological weapons that are being designed today are a whole lot smarter than they used to be. World War I, they put nerve gas, mustard gas out there and sprayed it on the troops in the trenches, indiscriminately killing. But today, DNA has allowed them to focus their killing to create biological weapons that can kill off certain races, certain groups. And if that's not genocide, I don't know what it is, folks. And if that isn't sinister, I don't know what's going on. You're talking about people who intend to get rid of the undesirables and to wipe them from the face of the earth and to create, to recreate evolution, to bring us back to the ethereal, to the original plan, to the original white race. I've come to the conclusion by what I've read that they intend to wipe from the face of the earth all brown and all black people. That they are the most racist bunch that ever lived on the face of the earth, yet they play the race card every day to keep you occupied with what they're really doing. It is a brotherhood, a white brotherhood. Notice all the secret societies. Have you ever really looked at who belongs to them? Have you ever really noticed who belongs to them? Did the Lord Jesus die for a white man? Did he die for a black man? Did he die for a red man? Did he die for a yellow man? That by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. It is not of God. It is not of the Holy Ghost to have this genetically engineered genocide directed towards some race on this earth. But they are smart. They are super smart. And they get that intelligence from Satan himself. They're demon possessed. They have access to knowledge they shouldn't have access to. And they're working toward what this final goal. And here's a few things he says. How much of this stuff gets you upset? Intentionally reducing the bulk of the world's population through genocide via the introduction of population slaughter, orchestrated conflicts, lethal bioengineered disease organisms introduced via vaccines and other means of external transmission. How many of you know what, what's it called? It's up here where these jets are flying over our head. I had it on the tip of my tongue. What's that called up there where they're spraying all this stuff out of? Chemtrails. How many of you noticed the chemtrails? At first I thought, man, that jet engine needs a tune-up. But then I began to notice that these things are coming out, and then I saw a video where an aircraft is following one. The aircraft is following one of these things, and they can watch it turn it on and turn it off. Turn it on and turn it off. And the big question right now is, what are they spraying? What are they spraying? What are they spraying on people? What are these killers doing? Why don't they tell you? If it's innocuous, if there's nothing to it, if it's not going to harm you, why don't they tell you? Why the secrecy? Anytime you got a secrecy involved, somebody's covering something up. Somebody's got something to hide, right? Exactly. They have something to hide. Well, here's the thing. If you get on the internet and check it out, this is just a couple of pages of dead scientists. Now, I'm certain some of these scientists died by natural causes, just died like anybody does. But there's a lot of suspicion surrounding the death of a lot of these scientists. So why are they killing the scientists? Well, who do you think makes these chemical weapons? Who do you think's involved in nuclear research? Genetic research. You see, if a man has a conscience and a soul, and he gets involved in this stuff, and he finds out what he's working on and realizes their motive and what they're going to do with it, he says, no, I'm not going to be part of this. I'm out of here. Yeah. Well, you may be out of here, but you're not going to live long. You know, it's easy to shut up your opposition. Just kill them off. That's the way Stalin operated. Did you know that it says he killed from 30 to 60 million of his own people? Stalin did. Yes, sir. 30 to 60 million. That's a bunch of people.
Pastor Benedict, 15 to 17 years ago, I had a barber, and I used to really think that he was really out there.
I know. That's what happens. That's where they think I am, way out there. Right.
He was talking about he had a friend that had a faint sampling of it, tried to have it analyzed, and it disappeared because they turned it over to a government agency.
Right.
And they couldn't find it anymore. And then they had a second one that they were keeping it, and it flew here. Bottom line, though, I was with this my regular barber for over 5 years. Just like that, he disappeared. And to this day, I don't know what's becoming.
I know. And I've thought a lot about that by what I'm teaching in here. But I've had to pray. I've prayed about it, and I've asked God to give me grace about it, and I have to do what He tells me to do. I'm not the only voice out there. Believe me, I am not the only voice. Truth of the matter is, though, this is the sad thing. Most of this stuff, if you're going to get it from like I'm giving you today, you're not going to get it in the churches. You're not going to get it in the churches. Brother Valance, did you not show me a thing about how that they're expecting riots in the country? How the United States Army is being prepared to fire on their own citizens? Did you not show me that? The United States Army, our Army, is being prepared, and all of them won't. They won't do it. You can count on it. Thank God for that. If I was in the military, I would not fire on my people. No. No, sir. But anyway, they're preparing them. They're preparing them for riots. They're preparing them for riots related to the election in November, this November. And then the year 2016, for some reason, as whatever that pretends, 2016, they're preparing the people for riots. They've got detention centers built in the country. A lot of people think that's just a bunch of foolishness and bunk, but they do. They've got detention centers already built. They expect civil unrest. Why do they expect civil unrest? What do they have planned? What's coming down the pike? What's coming? Why do they expect civil unrest? See? What would it relate to? What if you find out something that you didn't know? For example, next week you're going to get an implanted chip. You know, they're going to put one in you. What if you were told, and you have no choice now? You don't turn that away. You're a terrorist if you turn it down. You know the definition of a terrorist that was it Napolitano came out with it a few years back? Somebody did. The definition, one of the definitions of a terrorist is people that go to church every Sunday, who have a strong belief in Christ, who have a strong belief in the second coming, you, dear friend, you were labeled as a terrorist because you believe that. See what I mean? See how it works? What are they doing? They're conditioning people. Most of the population in the United States of America reads nothing. They're spoon-fed. The only thing they know is what they're told by the controlled media. That's all they know. That's why I say a lot of times, I quote Will Rogers. He said, the only thing I know is what I read in the newspaper. You know, they come and say, where'd you get this? I just read the papers. Anyway, how many believe the Lord's going to come back soon? I mean, really? I had a fellow sent me a thing yesterday from Sacramento, California. It's on the website from Sacramento. And he's a good man. You can tell right off the bat. He said, preacher, he said, what you're saying is right down the line. He said, I agree with you. He said, I was once he was a correspondent. He was a newsman. And being a newsman, he has access, privy to information, you know, that we don't normally have access to. And he now homeschools his children. He's a good Christian man. And he said, I agree with you, what you say about the Illuminati and all that and this and that and so forth. He said, but I have to disagree with you when it comes to the election. The bottom line is, he said, it make any difference. It doesn't matter one way or the other who goes into office. Who goes into office? The elite white group are still going to pull the strings. I agree with him on that point. I agree. And I've told you before that. But here's the point. You've got a conscience and you've got a responsibility. And for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I like Paul Ryan. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's who Romney just picked to be his vice president from Wisconsin. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I like Paul Ryan, I'm telling you. And somebody's already said that he reminds them of Ronald Reagan, the way he says things and the way he carries himself. And I didn't hear his speech, but I read a short excerpt from it, where he said, we will lead. We will not, he said, if we, to paraphrase him, if we mess up, we'll accept the responsibility. for our mess up. You know, Obama's still blaming Bush and Nixon and whoever else he can blame for the problems. You know, he's had nearly 4 years now to straighten it up. And so it's obvious that the issue of the economy is going to be the focus for the next few weeks until we come up to the election, the economy, because that is Obama's Achilles heel, the economy. But I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. No way under the sun. But I tell you what, when Paul Ryan looks like Ronald Reagan, and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." I heard him say it. How many of you remember history? What wall is he talking about? The Berlin Wall. What was that wall erected for? It was erected right after World War II. They divided Germany into four sections. The Brits, the French, the Americans. I think it was the French. I think the French did. The Americans and the Russians. And Berlin fell in the Russian sector, didn't it? Yes, it did. And so, but Berlin was the capital. And so, what happened? What'd they do? They shut off all of the food. They shut it off. You know, they took it over. They wanted all of it. And so they had what's called the Berlin Airlift. Those C-47s, I think it was, they used in World War II for troops. That Berlin Airlift, one plane right after another plane. I forget how long it lasted, but buddy, they flew them in, brought the food in there until Russia finally relented and they built a wall between East Berlin and West Berlin. That's the way it stayed until Gorbachev tore the wall down. Now it's United Germany. Amen. You better believe it was. There was a no man's zone where they shot them to death. I remember seeing news clips from 35, 40 years ago. You'd see their dead bodies lying in there. They were keeping them in, not out. Nobody was trying to get into East Berlin. Just like they're not trying to get into North Korea. No. No, exactly. That's the good point. It was to keep them in. All right, I'm done. I'm finished. History repeats itself constantly.
And in view of that, I would advise anybody who's got little bumper stickers about prying it out of my hands when I'm dead and cold, I would give me a razor and scrape that junk off of there. So, brother, they will come. They pry it out of your dead hands. You want to be low-key, undercover, and you know what I'm saying? Discretion. Use a little discretion. Be wise.
They've already started talking about grabbing guns. I mean, they already did that after that murderer out there in Colorado, and then the one up there at the Sikh temple in where was that? Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin. Yes. Oh, they wouldn't. They'd be offended if you said they worship the devil.
Well, I know that, but they are possessing these people to do these things.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's civil. Listen, they are engineering civil unrest. They're engineering it. And they're going to pull the plug when the time comes. They're engineering it. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, buddy. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Dismiss us, brother.